Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. Todd Tomasella here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Glad to have you with us on the air. I've got a wonderful guest I'm going to introduce to you in just a minute. Before we do that, let me encourage you to utilize as a resource for believers to edify and equip you the ministry site, and that was safeguardyoursoul.com. There's a search box. There is also a drop-down category menu, and there is so much wealth of biblical truth there, contributed by members of the body of Christ. Also, I want you to consider supporting the ministry. We've got a recurring gift option, et cetera. It's on the donate page. You'll see it on the site. And we would welcome that so that we can continue to reach more and more people with the gospel of Christ. And people are getting the gospel, the word, saints, sinners and saints alike, by the tens of thousands every month. Also, lots of people that are incarcerated are getting the gospel resources. The Born Again book and some of the other ones are being dropped into jails on a regular basis. Amen. And with us on the line today is Sister Cassandra Shelton. How you doing, Cassandra?
I'm great, Todd. How are you?
Doing great. Thank you, Jesus. Glad to have you. And Cassandra and I are going to be talking about the first commandment with promise. Do you know what that is, saints? The first commandment with promise. Isn't that interesting? Makes us want to see what that commandment is. Amen. Notice,
amen.
And we're going to cover this in a minute, is Ephesians 6, 1 through 4 to open this up as a foundational text. We know that one of the Ten Commandments is, did you know that honoring our parents is one of the Ten Commandments? Exodus 20 is where the Ten Commandments are found. I highly encourage you to memorize those, saints. Notice, honor thy father. Give due respect thy father, to thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Notice the blessing that is attached. When we honor our parents, he promises that our days may be long upon the earth. Also, the New Testament counterpart, Ephesians 6, 1 through 4, children, every one of us listening is a child. Amen. We've all been brought into the world by God through a father and a mother. Amen. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now, a lot of times we look at this passage like, oh, that's for our kids. But again, we all have parents. Amen. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It's the right thing to do. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So it addresses children, that's all of us, and also it addresses fathers in particular, and that would include both parents, I'm sure. Sister Cassandra, what have you learned about this in your experience and your walk with Jesus concerning honoring your parents?
Well, I learned from an early age from my parents training a child in the way they should go. When they're old, they won't depart from it. I wasn't always perfect in that. I was quite the opposite child. I was the rebellious child. So that left That left a big gap in between me and my father. Me and my mother were pretty close growing up, but I just did not want to receive. So I was very rebellious. It was like the law hits my ears, and then the first thing your flesh wants to do is rebel against that. That was me, all in a nutshell. So I was going through scriptures, and Deuteronomy 21, 18 through 21 would describe me as a child growing up. if you want to read that, that's
read that?
Fine.
Oh, yeah. It's chapter 21, you said?
Uh-huh. Deuteronomy 21, verses 18 through 21.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I'll read that. Deuteronomy 21:18 through 21. If a man have a stubborn or rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened him, will not hearken unto them, then shall his father and mother lay hold on him and bring him out unto the elders of his city and unto the gate of his place. And they shall say unto the elders of his city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. And all the men of this or his city shall stone him with stones that he die. So shalt thou put evil away from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear.
Fear.
Amen.
That was me. So that left a great big gap between me and my father, you know, and when you're a child, you don't realize, I mean, like when you're a child, you do childish things. So me not having an understanding of what that really meant, I mean, in the old Biblical Testament days, they would kill you, they would stone you. So when I wasn't being obedient to my father, I wasn't being obedient to the Lord. And I learned through the years, as now I'm older and my parents trained me in the way I should go, I haven't departed from that now. And I realized when I wasn't submitting to my parents, I wasn't submitting to the Lord. So how is that first commandment with promise to honor your mother and father? You know, that's the first commandment with promise. It's not up for debate. You have to be obedient to what thus saith the Lord. So when I wasn't submitting to the authority of my parents, I wasn't submitting to the Lord. Nothing good comes out of that. And, you know, it was years later when my dad was on his deathbed, before we was actually able to heal all of the destructive teenagers that I went through. I can read off a few notes here that I put back and just go through a little portion of my testimony. So I found this card years later after my dad had passed away, and it says, the love of a father for his children is more than provision and protection, leadership, and guidance. It's a part of who we are and what we become and the way we serve the Lord with our lives. It's a strong and binding cord that runs through the fabric of our character, a rock we can stand on for courage and support, a foundation that lies securely beneath us. Your love is an ongoing expression of God's love, and you're appreciated in ways that go beyond words. When you left us, you didn't go alone, for part of us went with you the day God called you home. We all love and miss you very much. You are forever in our hearts and memory. That's one thing death can't take away, for we will carry it to our graves with us. For it's not what you leave your family, it's what you leave in them that counts. If love could build a staircase and memory a lane, I'd walk up to heaven and bring you home again. I cried when you passed away. Although I loved you dearly, I couldn't make you stay. A golden heart stopped beating, hardworking hands at rest. God broke my heart to prove he only takes the best. We love you, Daddy. We'll see you one day in heaven where you're with our Lord and Savior. When someone you love becomes a memory, the memory becomes a treasure. This marks 10 years since God called you home this year. Instead of grieving the loss, we are celebrating your life. We was blessed with many wonderful memories, so this is some of my most precious memories of our life together. The first being you trained your children in the way they should go. And now that I'm getting older, I can truly see I'm getting back to the root of our family foundation, which was Jesus and the church and his love for us and my mama. You did your job right on this one. Throughout the many trials and tribulations, you and mama had such a strong faith and trust in the Lord. Daddy, you loved the Lord with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and all that was within you. That's how you loved your family the way you did. You knew that the Lord was the head of our family, for it was the Lord who directed you in leading us. The scripture comes to mind when we was going through hard times, you would always say, my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. I will always remember sitting at the family table, eating dinner together daily, then having Bible study together as a family. thanking God for the many blessings we had, and the gift of the family was big for us. Always praying over our meal and thanking God there was food on the table, and my favorite was holding hands and praying as a family. You always said a family that prays together stays together. How very true this one is. Your example was huge in our lives. You took us to church and was faithful to God and the church. My next favorite was your testimony. When you was in the hospital with kidney failure, they had flushed your kidneys for the last time, and Mama was really scared you wasn't going to make it. And this was my older brother. There was only one of them at the time. Lloyd was 18 months old at the time, and my dad's brother told my mom, you need to call on the elders of the church and have them to pray over you. My mom said, I can't, I'm a backslider, but thank God she did. The doctors had pronounced Dad dead, and when the elders of Liberty Church got there, they prayed over him, and Grandma Lizzie got a message from God. This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God you shall live and not die. It was a miracle straight out of the gates of heaven. You had seven more children and raised us all in church.
There you go. So, okay, so your dad and mom, the historical facts here, just to make sure everybody hears this, this is an amazing mm-hmm. testimony. So they had your oldest, is it sister, right?
It was my brother. He was the oldest. Mm-hmm.
Oh, your brother. Okay. Yeah. So they had one child, and your dad was on his sick bed, and actually they pronounced him dead. And then the believers, as James 5:16 tells us, the elders of the church laid hands on him, and mm-hmm. God raised him up. And then he had how many children after that?
Seven.
Wow! What
seven more
what a blessing!
That. Yeah, that was one of my favorites. I mean, he would cry and he would thank God, and he'd say, "I'd love to tell you that I did all of this right, even after God brought me back from the dead, but I didn't. I still felt God." And he would just pour the tears and cry, and, you know, and he was in that relationship with the Lord, you know what I mean? But, I mean, he was mm-hmm. such a, when he was in the Spirit, he would just cry and cry and cry, and it would just, the hope, there wouldn't be anybody in that room that wasn't full of tears listening to his testimony. You know, and then he's sitting there, and everybody's
Amen.
Sitting there, seeing his wife and his seven children on the pews. I mean, it was a miracle. I mean, there was no other way to describe that. He was raised from the dead. It was a miracle.
Amen. So, and let me say this to the saints listening. Anybody who gets to know Sister Cassandra, which I highly recommend, by the way, will inevitably hear on a regular basis how her dad, and she calls him daddy, that about bring you to tears right there, and how he, I've never met him, none of us have because he's passed away a number of years ago, but how he instilled in her the truth of God, the word of God, in a diligent way, consistently. And I love what you just pointed to there, Cassandra, because I know we can all relate. You know, none of us have done anything, including parenting, to all the parents out there, and to all the children, none of us have perfectly honored our children, our parents as we should. But the good news in God's kingdom is that he's full of mercy and gracious and ready to forgive. And your dad was a teachable man, wasn't he, sister?
Yes, he was. He very much was. He just
and
loved
that's a
the
cardinal.
Lord. I mean, and he would be like, I felt him again, you know, and he would just be a big crybaby and cry, and it's like, but he knew how to get a hold of God, you know what I mean? There would be times when I grew up and I was working in the bars, Todd, and I would come home, and my dad didn't like me in the bars because he already been that road. He knew what that road led to. So he would be up at night on the couch with the King James Bible. We grew up that way. Thank you, Dad. and a dictionary.
Amen.
He would fall asleep to the Bible study and the dictionary and in prayer. Like, I knew what he was doing. He was praying for me because I was in the bars. So, I mean, if you know, you know my testimony, I was a stripper in the clubs for about 17 years. So that led to drugs, alcohol, stripping, everything that God said was abominations, I did that. I was like,
in other words, under the Old Testament, under the Old Testament, you would have been stoned, huh?
Yes.
As we read in Deuteronomy 21.
He would chastise me. My dad would chastise me so bad, and I would take it as he hated me. But actually, the Bible says the opposite. I mean, if you don't chastise and rebuke your children, Jesus said you hate them. So you look back on that, and you're going.
Let me throw this in there. Saints, Cassandra alluded earlier to the heritage that her father, big word there in the Bible, inheritance, heritage, that he left her was not $1 million in the bank. It was much greater. It was infinitely and eternally weighty and valuable, the inheritance, the heritage he left to Cassandra and her other siblings. And that was the word of God deposited in our hearts. And I want to ask you something right now as a parent, if you're a parent, please consider whether or not, and this is a rhetorical question for each individual to examine in their own heart, are we teaching our children the word of God? And are we doing it with wisdom and graciously in the love of Christ? I know, and I'm not going to take long with this, but I'll throw it in there. I know my little boy, even in his mother's womb, I prayed over him. I gave him the word. And when he came out, I filled him with the word and tried to do it in a joyful way. Perfectly. No, definitely not. Like, because his beloved father, I was not a perfect. But at the same time, there was no lack of him learning the scriptures and praising and worshiping God with joy. I didn't want him to be religious. And so at 4.5 years old, my little boy asked me, as we were driving down the road, he said, "Daddy," and I said, it was out of the blue, he said, "Daddy," I said, "Yeah, baby," he said, "I want to get saved," just like that, in those exact words and tone. And to know his, Cassandra, to know his personality, he doesn't say things he doesn't really mean. And so we pulled the car over right there, and he repented and received Christ at 4.5 years old. He wanted immediately his own Bible and to be water baptized, which is proof that he actually truly was saved. And then he was filled with the Spirit thereafter, by the way. And now he is a pastor. And so anyway, train up a child. And I wanted to ask you about that, Sister Cassandra. Train up a child, the Bible says in Proverbs 22:6, in the way that he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, how does you see that working itself out in your life as you were testifying earlier?
Well, it's just the word of God come into life in my life, you know, that my parents instilled that seed, that biblical seed, and the love of God and the love of Christ. And, you know, and I mean, everything we did revolved around the Lord Jesus Christ. My dad loved the Lord with all his heart, mind, soul, and strength. So he was able to love his family, his neighbor, as himself. You know what I mean? So I just seen that lived out in our family life. I mean, from the simple thing that you would take for granted, but you look back on it, and them little bitty things, them little seeds that he planted in us. You know, the holding the hands and thanking God we had a roof over our head and clothes on our back and a meal on the table, and that we were going to have a natural meal together, and then we were going to have the spiritual word together. And, you know, we would always ask questions as children, and he would always have his dictionary, because there was lots of questions at our family table, believe me. And so he's like, "Well, if I don't know that, let's look this up together." And that's how we learned and grow together. You know what I mean?
Well, so
that's rich.
Okay, so he modeled that is very rich. So he actually, you know, you mentioned earlier how teachable he was and correctable and humble and a man of a contrite heart that was a heart of flesh. And now you're telling us that what he did was show and demonstrate to y'all, and this is sometimes where we see a lot of pride in parents and in pastors, where there's this idea put forth which is completely unwarranted for any of us that are human beings. Like, we know everything. We certainly don't, but we know where to get the answers, and that's the Word of God. And so you're telling us that your dad would have the Bible and the dictionary and say, hey, if I don't know the answers, man, we'll look it up together. So he was not only demonstrating a humility of spirit, but he was also teaching y'all, and you caught it this many years later, you're testifying, that he was resourceful in the things of God, teachable, and knew where to find the answers, that is, in the scriptures and in defining them from the Webster's dictionary, right?
Yeah, yes.
And let me say this
today.
Real quick. There's another testimony I want to throw in there, and this is, saints, notice how Cassandra, though she testified that she went through some years of rebellion, turned to the Lord because her dad and mom trained her up in the right ways of the Lord, and she went astray. But remember, Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Some of you listening have done a good job parenting. You led your children in the right ways of the Lord. You've sown scripture in their hearts. And be encouraged, as is the testimony of our sister Cassandra, that the scriptures never return void. Never. Isaiah 55:11. And so be encouraged that the Holy Scriptures are literally haunting and convicting your children, because they can't get those scriptures out of their heart. It would be absolutely impossible to be done. It will not be done. It cannot be done. And so be encouraged that you put the Word, the seed of the Word, in their lives, and through prayer and hoping, you know, they can very well return to the Lord, as Cassandra did because of her parents sowing the Word in her heart. Go ahead, sister.
Okay, so I'll finish out my testimony. I think we're about out of time. So when I went through the life of sin,
12 minutes.
Okay, so I was full. I was in the bars for 17 years. That led to the alcohol. That led to crack cocaine. So when I was pregnant with my second son, Andrew, I smoked crack the whole time I was pregnant with him. So CPS got involved and took my oldest daughter. She was 13 at the time, and Andrew was a newborn. My parents, I've never felt that close to anybody in my life as in that moment. My mom and dad prayed earnestly for me, was there for me, walked me through that whole process, didn't give up on me. They got frustrated, and that's okay. I got chastised, and I deserved it, you know. But they never, ever gave up on me. They never stopped praying. They went into fasting. They had churches praying. It was a heart-wrenching time for me, you know, when they ripped my babies on my arm. But I did that to myself. I allowed Satan to do that to me. They were just there. I mean, they took me in their home when I smoked myself out of another home. I didn't know where I don't know where I would be today, to be honest, without my mom and my dad praying me out of that addiction. They knew how to get to the throne. Okay. So that's that's more precious than that can't be bought, you know.
Yes.
They took my ex-husband, Andrew's dad, and that my dad did not like this man. He didn't like his ways. And my second husband introduced me to drugs. But I watched my mom and my dad, when Tim didn't have anywhere to go, they took him in their home. They fed him. They gave him a place to stay. And what a miraculous thing to watch. Because Jesus said, love your enemies, didn't he?
Amen. Yes.
And that was just
beautiful.
Did my parents just really do that? So they were showing me the love of Christ, you know. And so years later, when my dad got on his deathbed, I would go to church and I would cry and pour out my heart to the Lord. And Dad would always say, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. He would always pray that over me. And then I never really understood that And he would just have the tears pouring, you know. And it was just a miraculous thing to have him be there for me, knowing I was in full sin, but he still loved me unconditionally. He was showing me the love of Christ. And you don't realize that until you see that empty value chair, because he was very valuable in my life. But it was just miraculous, you know. And then years later, I became freed from the drugs and the alcohol. And, you know, I mean, the one more thing that I would like to say in my testimony is the one more precious memory that I'll hold dear till I go, till God takes me home, is one more precious memory and that I will always hold dear to my heart was the last one I have of you while you was on your deathbed. Although my heart was breaking in two, it was also a time of healing for the two of us. As I poured out my heart to you and gave you, it gave me great comfort for me to know that you knew I loved you and was grateful we was able to mend our broken hearts and all the pain of the past. I told you that I loved you and you said I love you too, baby, was the last words I ever heard you speak to me. I will forever be grateful that our hearts was mended and healed as God called you home. Dear God, I gratefully thank you for giving me my dad because you gave me the best. I get my strength from my dad to live on. He was the strongest man I knew. I am honored to be able to say I carry a piece of you in me and be able to carry your wonderful legacy you left us. Dad will always remember that special smile, that caring heart, that warm embrace you always gave us. You being there for Mom and us through the good times and the bad times, no matter what. What a wonderful provider you was for us, because there will never be another to replace you in our hearts and the love you gave us so freely. I speak of us all, for us all. Thank you for all the sacrifices for your family. Until we meet again, love you. God gave
Amen.
Us.
Amen.
The love you gave us will live in each of us. So, I mean,
beautiful.
It was just, he left a wonderful legacy for us. It was just, you know, I went through multiple scriptures that gives me peace and comfort knowing that my dad's reward is in heaven. You know what I mean? So, like, it's
Amen,
just an amazing
sister.
Gift.
Amen. Thank you for sharing that. We got a few minutes left. What does honor really mean, saints? It means to simply highly esteem. Let's break that down a little bit in our closing moments here. Again, honor. To honor simply means to highly esteem. Now, that doesn't mean, God never said, honor your father and mother if they're perfect. And aren't you glad? Because we, as parents, simply aren't perfect. And we certainly want our children honoring us. Amen. But what kind
Amen.
Of children are we to our own parents? Are we highly esteeming them? Notice the Word of God doesn't give any conditions. God didn't say, honor your parents only if they're saved. Honor your parents only if they do everything correct. Honor your parents only, you know, if they're these wonderful people. No, not at all. In fact, some of the most difficult relationships can be family relationships, as we all know, but we got 90 seconds left. But we have to navigate this through prayer and ask the Lord, first of all, to forgive us, because none of us have perfectly honored our parents. Amen. I certainly haven't, and I've had to work at it. And through prayer and the grace of God and realizing how much I need Jesus more than anybody on the planet, God helps the mercy and the graciousness to flow better. And I'm still, like Cassandra said, I'm still learning a lot. And that brings us to the next point. Notice how it says here in verse 4 of Ephesians 6, ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath and bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You know, doesn't it seem, as we look around us in life, that it seems easier for some children to just graciously honor their parents with great delight? I envy that. I think that's amazing. And we should consider what kind of relationship we're fostering with our children. They aren't our friends. We're their parents. I understand that. But there's a balance that God can give us in fostering true love between us and our children through a gracious spirit and a loving heart. Amen. Cassandra, would you like to say something else here before we close?
I would just like to say I'm just grateful for the wonderful legacy my dad and my mom, you know, instilled in us. It's a wonderful gift and a blessing.
Amen. That's a beautiful thing, sister. Thank you for sharing today, Cassandra. God bless you, saints, and thank you for listening.